You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Southern Cross is back, and with us in studio today is Pacific Media Watch contributing editor Michael Andrew. How are you today?
Hello there. I'm well. How are you?
Oh, good.
Great.
Good.
Beautiful day.
Do you think
it's spring?
Yeah.
See?
You can sense it. There's something.
I mean, we've got, you know, this is surely.
Yeah.
This is the expert.
Yeah, I am the spring expert.
Well, let's crack into it. And we've got some West Papua protest updates.
Yeah, so this is still ongoing and still very much the most significant issue at the moment in the region. The protests and demonstrations have not abated, and there have been reports that there are fatalities, which many people were concerned might happen with the amount of military manned firepower that Indonesia is deploying in its typical heavy-handed tactics to suppress demonstrations. So, yeah, there were reported that six protesters had died in the Daya Regency in Papua. And then a bunch of injuries and one police that had been shot and killed as well. So this was a gunfight, essentially.
Is that kind of thing common?
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything about it, but it seems like quite a big deal,
awful.
Six people.
Yeah.
Well, see, the thing is, because no foreign media are allowed in,
we
the
don't
reports
know.
Are unverified, and you get, whatever claim you get from the protesters or from the media, the police will give a separate claim that no one died, it's all good. So they're actually maintaining throughout this whole thing that the whole nation, the whole region is in a state of calm, it's all good. That's what the Indonesian government is maintaining, whereas you've got protesters who are reporting through social media and through various outlets that it's all going down, people are dying, people are getting shot. It seems like, although this isn't common, it is likely that there is gunfights at least, and there is, because there is a ongoing, very violent conflict in Papua, and this is just a part of that. But the way I see these protests, there are two things going on. There's the protesting against the racism and the oppression that the Papuans are subjected to under Indonesian administration, which is very clear. There's so much evidence that suggests that there's a deep racial divide between the two cultures. But the other so they're protesting that, but the other big thing is the self-determination cause. So it's all that's become wrapped up in it as well, and as you know, that's been going on since Indonesia annexed West Papua back in the 1960s. So the self-determination or independence movement has been going on since then, and it's going to continue going on. And so that has attached itself to this protest, which started as a protest against racism. So it's not likely, it's going to get worse before it gets better. And like I said, the way that Indonesia's kind of approaching the situation, it's probably going to result in more fatalities and yeah, which is pretty
sad.
Yeah,
pretty shocking, really. And we got reports as well that. So I talked briefly last week that it's a crime to raise the Morning Star, the West Papua flag of independence. So that's just one of a number of, rules against West Papuans showing any notion of independence. So a bunch of demonstrators protested outside the presidential palace in Jakarta and raised the flag, and reports came in over the weekend that two of them had been arrested, the ones who had organized the rally and had actually raised the flag. So a bunch of other demonstrators are saying we're going to turn ourselves in as a form of protest or solidarity with the two that were arrested, and last I read they were outside the Metro police station saying we did it too. So just as a sign to show you, if you're going to take some of us, you have to take all of us. And it's just attracting more attention to the issue, because that's a pretty heinous rule.
Shocking.
Yeah,
15 years
awful.
In prison. So, yeah, but the reports are going to continue to flood in on this. It's totally ongoing, and it's very much developing and breaking as we speak. So I'm sure I'll talk about it again next week, but those are the most recent updates.
Thank you for that. Yeah, well, I mean, not really, but yeah, but hey. So there is some sort of parallels being drawn to movements in West Papua somewhere else. Can you talk about that?
Yes. So this tied in quite nicely with the 20th anniversary of East Timor, Timor-Leste, which in 1999 declared its independence through a UN-sanctioned referendum. And that was backed by New Zealand and Australia as well. And effectively parted ways of Indonesian rule, which had been under since 1975. And that was a very, like the occupation of West Papua, a very violent and a very traumatic conflict where Indonesia invaded Timor-Leste 7 days or 9 days after they declared independence from the outgoing Portuguese Empire. So it was actually, there's, if you read accounts of it or watch documentaries, it is really horrific the way this little island, or at least half of this island, had decided, okay, where Portugal were leaving, and that they actually had a kind of a semi-good relation as far as colonialism go. The relationship between the Portuguese and the Timorese was actually okay, and they kind of, at least some of them, didn't mind being under Portuguese administration. But anyway, Portugal was a collapsing empire, and they left, and then 9 days later, Indonesia flooded across the border in the largest military campaign ever carried out by Indonesia, and it resulted in indiscriminate killings of civilians, and then a 20-year rule of, you know, extrajudicial executions and all this horrible stuff. Anyway, I digress. I digress to talk about these charming things, but Indonesia, parted ways with Timor-Leste in 1999, and the build-up is very similar to what's happening in West Papua now. And it needed that kind of attention from the world in order for the referendum to be pushed and have that UN, that global,
acknowledgement,
and that unity behind it. And I think this is what the West Papuan cause is trying to attract. The more these human rights abuses go on, the less the world can ignore it, and the more attention is going to be brought to the cause. And if we look at history, that is going to precipitate some kind of change somewhere. You know, you can't just ignore all this noise going on. It's just too deafening. So that's very similar to what happened in East Timor. But there's also a bit of skepticism that we hope that it won't be exactly like East Timor, because while East Timor got, or Timor-Leste got, its independence, 20 years on, it's not the, you know, the free utopia that people thought it was going to be. It's actually rife with corruption. There's all this competing financial interests from other powers that are kind of splitting the little small nation in multiple ways, trying to extract its natural resources. And it's a haven for Indonesian companies, you know, with lots of questionable tax interests and things like that. So people are concerned that if West Papua does hypothetically get its independence, they don't want to see it become like that,
you know,
become just a bit of a haven for all these powers to, you know, do their dodgy deals and whatnot. So yeah, people are kind of, commentators are urging caution and to not repeat history, especially if the independence movement continues to grow and develop.
And sort of use it as like a learning example rather than something to follow exactly by.
Like, if we do independence, how can we do it right? That kind of thing. Yeah. But there's so much analysis going on.
I can imagine.
It's very fascinating stuff.
Shall we move on finally to the Fijian Prime Minister has been caught on video doing something not very good.
No. So Fiji's Prime Minister Porik Bainimarama, a couple of weeks ago in Parliament, he was accused by the opposition MP of assaulting him. He accused Bainimarama of assaulting him. So that was kind of caught on video, and it's it's developed since then with Bainimarama and his party denying it completely and saying, no, we didn't do anything of the sort. And then a video surfaced actually showing Bainimarama outside the parliament building coming up to the opposition MP Pio Tikiduadua and like grabbing his shirt and, you know, giving him a bit of a, like, it's not, it's not violent assault, but it is pretty aggressive and it's certainly unbecoming for a senior politician.
Definitely.
And it looks very intimidating. Like, as he's approaching, you know something's going to go down. Like, he's
not a good look.
Yeah. So there has been analysis and commentary saying that, yeah, Bainimarama is actually, he's a really good leader on issues like climate change, but he is an ex-military man and he, you know, he very much can play the autocrat sometimes, and if you do something he doesn't like, he's going to let you know off, you know, most likely in physical.
Is anything going to happen?
Yeah.
I mean, can you get the PM
Does he get
on
in
assault?
Trouble? Yeah.
Yeah, well, the police are looking into it, and they've got the video, so he can't really deny it anymore, but the police commissioner is not going to say anything until the investigation ensues. Yeah, it's a tricky one because he's got a lot of power. He's incredibly well liked.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't say whether much will happen, but
I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
I doubt it, though.
Yeah.
No.
Get swept under the rug like
me. Yeah. But it's the opposition MP, I felt quite sorry for him
because
he really played the victim on his I got assaulted. It's pretty feel for the guy.
Not ideal. Well, is that all for today?
That's pretty much it. Yeah, I will keep on, you know, doing the updates on the West Papua thing. Next week there'll be more in the old West Papua show.
Perfect. Yeah, thank
great,
you.
Good. It's important.
It is important. Exactly. If that's what people need, if that's what they need, more like publicity and people talking about it, then best to keep talking about it.
Absolutely. Oh, and also just I'll touch briefly on the Hong Kong riots, even though it's kind of outside our region, but I don't know if you guys heard about it in the weekend, but it's escalated immensely.
I'm just even surprised at this point. It just
keeps on going.
It's like the West Papua thing, only on steroids, I suppose. The police are just going nuts trying to suppress these protests. And apparently the protesters got painted with blue paint so that they'd be identified because it's all a question of like what they're wearing and how to identify them now, because originally they were wearing white and then the pro-Chinese demonstrators were wearing black or vice versa, but that gave them kind of a target. And now everyone's a bit incognito. But so the protests have been splayed with blue paint as far as
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on.
I wish I had some happy news for you guys.
Yeah.
Maybe next week.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe with spring has sprung, maybe something nice will come along. But anyway, read all the Pacific Media Centre updates at pmc.aut.ac.nz and asiapacificreport.nz. Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you.
That was the Southern Cross.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.